tax.
The Gaza Strip is casting a big fat shadow on those peace talks. In fact, Palestinians are threatening to walk out closer to home in Arlington National Cemetery, which would be the most sacred place you could possibly think of when it comes to men and women who have given their lives to defend the freedoms of this country. How they have to open these graves and find the misplaced bodies, just devastating, I'm sure, still to the families. And how about George Soros and the fact that insider trading is looming above his head? That case is going to be reviewed. Guarantee it would take a lot to take this guy down, because he is a fave of many political types, especially left-leaning Democratic types, where he has spent a ton of money. And interesting enough, Soros is one of the backers to a small little piece of it, but one of the backers of the Islamic Center that's going to be built two blocks from Ground Zero, unless it's moved. That's still a fluctuating situation, or as I would say, a moving target. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. The name of the show, Left, Right, or Somewhere in Between, or just flat out furious over what's going on in this country. I don't care what your stripes are. Just have an opinion when you call. So I'm going to give you the digits right at the top of the show. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Because I respect beyond anything that I could possibly ever string together and try to express on this show, the thousands and thousands of troops who tirelessly do what is asked of them in some godforsaken places where people just want to cut them open. When you hear about what's going on at the National Cemetery, it just makes you beyond, I think, furious. So we know the story. We've already dealt with the story, but they discovered three people buried in the wrong graves. The Army said that they opened three burial sites last month. They found that the remains in each had been interred in, of course, mismarked spots. So this is on the heels of that investigation into what they're calling bookkeeping problems and burial mix-ups at one of the nation's most hallowed sites. So there was even a Marine that was where his grave was opened up because his father was scared to death that it might not hold his son's remains. And the Marine was Heath Warner from Canton, Ohio. And his father had the grave opened. They did. They found that it was him. He was killed in Iraq in 2006, but he was so badly mutilated that it was a closed casket. And when all these horrible things were breaking, the stories about this, the family just felt like they wanted to exhume the body for peace of mind. So thank goodness that was one where they didn't have to, you know, the case is closed. You know, the Army needs to get it together. Somebody needs to get it together, because this is ridiculous. They don't have a clue how it's done. Then sub out the work to somebody who knows how to do it, because you're messing with people's lives. We know this. So many of the people that come back in these coffins, the hard, terrible reality is, I mean, in all the wars, a lot of them were very young men who had young wives and small children, or were barely wet behind the ears and had gone over to serve. And I just cannot believe, yes, there are mistakes that are made in all kinds of positions, and that's life. Not, you know, 100% is pretty tough, right? But this is pretty bad. And this was bad to begin with. This should never, ever have happened. And who knows what they find next, because they're still, sadly, digging, let's put it that way. Would you believe, and I've got to say this at the top, that there is yet another tropical storm? I am not pulling your leg. Just so you're up to date on this, we have Igor, we have Julia, And now we've got Tropical Storm Carl that dumped a lot of rain on the Yucatan Peninsula, and it's moving toward the Gulf of Mexico. They're thinking it's going to pick up some steam and become a hurricane and threaten the central coast of that country by the weekend. Igor is a Cat 4 storm, and they're talking about rip currents along the east coast over the weekend, and large swells would certainly be expected in the Bahamas and the Virgin Islands. If you looked at a map, that's obvious. And then now Hurricane Julia isn't a threat to land at this point. Now a Cat 3. See, it's interesting. It keeps switching. Carl, and they're not sure, you know, it's picking up winds right now of 65 miles an hour. It hit about midway between a cruise ship and one of the coastal towns. Boy, that'd be brutal if you were on the cruise ship, wouldn't it? If you've ever been, I don't know how many of you have been on boats, like let's say medium-sized boats or even just the speed boats, where you're out somewhere and then the you start to get the ocean swells. Whew. That happened to me one time on a cigarette boat. It only had to happen to me one time, and then that was it. The bigger the boat, the better I feel about it, because I've seen the waters swell. I've seen some crazy things happen in the Atlantic Ocean. But for all the people that are wondering what's going to happen as far as Julia and Carl and all that, trust me, we'll keep you up to date. We are all about the weather on this show because we have to be. It's just amazing to me how often we end up giving you these little updates, because I know people, for all the people that watch the Weather Channel, there's other people who aren't as quite as fascinated by it, and they'll say, wow, hurricane, yeah, I had no idea. I thought that was going to peter out. I mean, really, it picked up some steam. A lot different when you're talking about tropical storms, though, and hurricanes versus tornadoes. Well, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I've said this over and over again. Since I've had the pleasure of living in so many cool places in this country, I've done the tornado thing, and it's scary because you have no idea. I mean, there's very little warning. It just, boom, hits you between the eyes, and then I'll tell you, that's it. Coming up on the flip side, by the way, we're going to do a little sports shorts for you because there was so much of an uproar about this crazy Heisman Trophy thing. But before we do, a quick recap on Christine O'Donnell. She's used campaign contributions to help pay the rent, and she's gotten, I guess she's got her bachelor's degree, and she stunned, because they said it took her 20 years, and she stunned the Republican establishment by beating the 9-term Congressman Mike Castle, and he was a 2-term very, very popular governor in Delaware, and she said, we're going to win the war. You know, this is it. We're going to win the war. Not looking for backing, because she didn't think she thought the Republicans were giving her the cold shoulder, but now suddenly they're pumping money into the campaign with 7 weeks to go. This is very grassroots. Good for her, I say, because, you know, she did get smashed all over the place. Nobody gave her a snowball's chance in hell of coming through the Delaware primary, and she did. She nailed it, and now the Republicans are saying they're playing on her team. Interesting how things change, isn't it? Stay with us.
So you got your emergency food, water, guns, and ammo, right? What about your paperwork? Your medical and insurance records, legal documents, emergency plans? Keeping and knowing where those vital papers are can really prepare you. That's why you need Prepared Binder, an emergency binder designed to keep all your important documents in one safe place. See Prepared Binder at PreparedBinder.com or call 480-284-1826. Prepared Binder, organized peace of mind.
In a coming apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, boating, tow line, shipyard, or decoration. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive a free 100 feet of 550 paracord. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
And now for another exciting minute from Life Change Tea. To all our Life Change Tea customers, it's sale time. Buy three, get one free. Buy three packages of Life Change Tea and get one package absolutely free. Now to all of you that have not tried Life Change Tea, here's your chance. Buy three, get one free. Clean toxins and chemicals inside your body. Lose inches off your waist and you could lose that excess weight that's been driving you crazy. And with our buy three get one free sale, it's a great time to order. So here's how. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Look for our special, or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. 0408. It feels good to be clean, and it feels good to lose weight, and it really feels good to save money. So order now at GetTheTea.com.
Man decides after 7 years, that's what he goes there for. Stealing like a door. All around him criticize and say, and through a fractal on a breaking wall, I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream.
Don't forget, coming up on our next show, we have nailed the score. That's right, in our third hour, you have a chance to win bragging rights and the prizes, of course. Computer picks the game randomly, then you tell us who you think's going to win and what you think the final score is going to be. Nobody nailed the score last time around. If you can't get through on the phone lines, you can email us at americantonight.com, almost at .net. And if you do that, you are eligible as well, because I know a lot of people are working, can't get to the phone, can't get through, whatever it is, doesn't matter. As long as you get it in on time, so in other words, during the same time period when we're taking phone calls, just that hour, because it wouldn't be fair to everybody else who waits in line and hangs on the line and tries to get through. So it's all good, but just remember that, all right? So a little sports shorts for you as we head into the second week of NFL regular season action. The Heisman Trophy, what now has been decided, I think is a shame, and there's a lot of arguments over this. For those who aren't familiar, the Heisman Trophy is awarded to the best college football player of the year, and it's a huge honor, and you know, these kids kill themselves, you see, on the gridiron week in and week out. So in 2005, Reggie Bush was awarded the Heisman. He had great statistics. He was an incredible running back at USC. But unfortunately, it was all tainted because his family lived in a house that somebody gave him. And there were a slew of other things that happened, gifts and things he accepted. So the NCAA was able to nail the school for that and for the improper benefits, is what they would term it as, that not only Bush got, but basketball player O.J. Mayo received as well. And, I mean, there's no question he had incredible performances when he was with USC. So what Reggie Bush decided to do, and I think it's because people were just questioning him to death about the Heisman, and I don't feel sorry for Reggie Bush because he knew what he did. They drilled into these kids, whether it's fair or not, you can't do this, can't do that, you can't accept the gifts, all that other sort of stuff, and he did. So he decided to forfeit his award. He decided to give it back, sort of, in other words. And the Heisman Trophy Trust announced that it will remain vacated. So instead of giving it to Vince Young, the quarterback for the University of Texas squad, who had good statistics as well and came in second in the voting, he doesn't get it. As a result of Bush deciding to forfeit his title, the trustees, because it's their decision to make, they said there won't be a Heisman Trophy winner for 2005. So the former coach for Young, Mack Brown, the Texas coach, had this to say about it. And then Vince Young had his own take on it.
Vince, I think, has been in a very difficult spot throughout this process because he likes Reggie. He did not want to talk about someone else's award. And at the same time, the Heisman Trophy at Texas has always been a team award. It was with Ricky. We put it on all the rings of the kids that year.
I definitely want it. You know, I definitely want it. But, you know, he won it fair and square, definitely. And, you know, as much respect to Reggie, man, he has a great career. I mean, he already won a Super Bowl before me. I'm already mad about that. But at the same time, I'm definitely happy for him, man. And, you know, he definitely is the Heisman Trophy of that year. But if they send it over to me, I'm not going to say no to it.
All right, so they're not sending it over to him. They decided, no, forget it. He does not get it. And I think he should have. I think they should. It would have been a nice gesture to give it to him. But Bush forfeited it, so it remains that nobody will have won the Heisman in 2005. See, there's politics in sports, too. Plenty of it, trust me. Speaking of the politics of sports, LeBron James made a move in the NBA offseason. You might have heard of it, from Cleveland to Miami. And really infuriated a lot of people in Ohio. Well, they do these Q score things, which they rate all kinds of personalities, Sarah Palin, Katie Couric, whoever, Conan O'Brien. And the Q score, conducting that popularity poll, has James rated as the sixth most disliked figure in American pro sports. How about that? According to the report, I happen to see it on CNBC, James is viewed in what the company considers a negative light by 39% of the general population. So in January, when he was still a Cavalier, he was viewed positively by 24% of the population. And that obviously had an effect because the people in Ohio, for one, were absolutely furious. Other people were, too. He's got pounded by relentless criticism since he had that crazy one-hour ESPN special to say, I'm leaving for the Miami Heat. The Cavs owner was furious about it, called him a coward, and said he believed James quit during the playoff games this past season and the year before. So he decided to go to the Heat, thinks he can win a championship that way, and he's taken a massive public image nick. You know, who cares? It was crazy that he had the one-hour special because, and I know he gave some of the money to charity, but there's something about, like, ego times 10, because who cares? I mean, every day people are switching, leaving teams. And, yes, he's won an incredible basketball player, but do we really, I don't know, do we really care that much about it? The answer is no. A couple of quick things on a personal note, because, you know, I'm all about the Phillies, and I have not been throwing that in anyone's face lately. I love the great game of baseball. That would be what I'm doing when I have the chance. I'm watching a game somewhere. And the Phillies came through again. The Phillies were on a crazy slide, but the Phillies beat Florida 10-5, and Halliday is just incredible, the pitcher who picked up the win. It's win number 19. So nice to see somebody doing some good pitching, and it's nice to see the Phillies take that in Miami, because he kind of struggled in that game. He gave up 10 hits in 6 innings, but he wasn't in big trouble because the Phillies gave him some run support. So now in the division, the Phillies are up by 3 games in the NL East. I guarantee right now there's some guy like driving down the road in a truck somewhere saying, I hate the Phillies. Why is she telling me the Phillies score? I don't understand. Because I love the Phillies. I love the Phillies. And I have to, every once in a while, I got to give them some props. Because we're all football fans, right? Or at least 10% of us anyway. The people in San Diego are not going to be happy about this. Fans that are used to watching their Chargers home games on local TV might have to find some other place to do it. The bars would probably like that, I guess, because they could get a fee, I'm assuming. But it might happen on a couple of Sundays. With about 8,000 general admission tickets unsold, Southern California's only NFL team is saying that Sunday's home opener against the Jags could be blacked out. So that would end a streak of 48 straight sellouts, including the playoffs. Oh, that's awful when that happens. You know, when you're a fan, you just roll out of bed, you want to watch the game, whatever, you go to church, your family, come back, sit with the boys on the couch, and you just want to watch. And now that's not going to be the case, and it may end up being for who knows how many games. They say they're really disappointed by it, but that's what the NFL does. If you don't get a sellout by the afternoon, early afternoon on Thursday, they call it a blackout. You can request a 24-hour extension, but that's usually only done when you're confident that you can reach a sellout. If there's more than 10,000 tickets left to sell, boy, I mean, there's more than 10,000 left for a game against Arizona. They got 8,000 for this one. It's not looking good. I have to assume that, hey, it's the slow economy, because who's got the bucks for some of these more expensive football tickets, right? Stay with us. Interesting story coming up on the flip side that I'm sure you'll enjoy.
Attention gun owners. You're into guns, and many people you know are into guns. Well, someone needs to maintain, clean, and repair those guns, and it could be you. Now get a free How-To Gunsmith DVD sampler from AGI, the American Gunsmithing Institute. Learn the art of professional gunsmithing as a part or full-time career. Develop a lucrative business by learning the art of gunsmithing through over 71 exclusive DVD training courses. Get started today by ordering our free DVD sampler video and catalog at AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. See how to quickly learn firearm disassembly, reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. To order your free DVD sampler and catalog, call 800-367-9792 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Ask about a bonus $10 savings coupon when you call 800-367-9792 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio for over 10 years. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
Back here on America Tonight, you're going to love this next guest. Check this out. Jay Jennings is a veteran sports writer, right? He's known, if you read Sports Illustrated, I think I started getting Sports Illustrated when I was like 7, and the New York Times, a whole bunch of other stuff that would take the entire interview to name. And now he's written this new book called Carry the Rock, Race, Football, and the Soul of an American City. And it's referring to Little Rock, Arkansas. If you remember back in the late 50s, it became the battleground. The country's most infamous school integration battle was right there. And he's written a book about it. Jay, thanks for joining us here on America Tonight. Now, I understand you're from Little Rock. Is that part of what got you interested in writing the book? Or was it partially the, you know, what drew you to the story, in other words?
I was born in 1957, so the integration battle and I grew up together. It's when you grow up in Little Rock, it's just a part of the atmosphere. You hear about it all the time. It's taught in schools, and having grown up there, you know, I heard about the history part of it, but I was also experiencing, you know, some of the aftermath as I was going through school and as integration was being, you know, litigated, and I was being bused across town. And so it was just part of who I was, you know, when I was growing up.
Explain, because as you said, you were born in 1957, so you were really young when it happened, but you could feel that as you were growing up through the years. But what were the kind of stories that people told you when things were actually happening, when you had the U.S. Army's 101st Airborne Division and the National Guard involved in what was happening there? What kind of things did you find out?
Well, it was a huge media event. It was really the first widespread media event of the civil rights era, and it took it took the story international. It was all over the newspapers, and of course, I was too young to know that, but and my parents were raising two kids, and so they were involved with that. But as you grow up in Little Rock, you hear about it all the time, and you see these you know, the New York Times headlines. It was on page one for 2 months, and here you are going to school in the same buildings where the integration fight took place. So it's history. It's right there. You know, you can reach out and touch it.
Has it changed very much in Little Rock? What's it like today? I mean, here we are these many years later. Are some of those feelings still hang over Little Rock? What are your impressions?
Well, that's what I sought to investigate, because I've been in New York for 20 years, you know, writing for national magazines, and had written some about Little Rock, but I returned home on the eve of the 50th anniversary of the integration fight, and I really wanted to take a snapshot of and investigate how race was playing out in Little Rock today. And the way I thought to do that was to follow a high school football team. I was a huge sports fan, and when I was growing up, and I played high school football, and it just seemed like, instead of going into the classrooms and investigating real, you know, educational issues or those kind of things, I thought you'd get a truer picture of how race was lived in the city by, you know, being with those kids on the field where you know, football is a meritocracy, really. So the kind of long-term race relation problems that we we always talk about in terms of the schools, you know, I'm not sure they were playing out on the field. And I wanted to see how white and black players would interact and how coaches dealt with those issues. In some ways, Little Rock is still a very divided city, as are many cities in terms of their, you know, housing patterns, and we're still, you know, dealing with some of the after effects of the battles of the civil rights era.
Yeah, and you played football, and talking about sports, I think sports is a uniter, and I think that's what you're saying there too.
Exactly.
Do you feel that now, especially? I think especially now. Maybe it wasn't before, because you had to have the desegregation and the integration and all that other sort of stuff. But I think now more than ever, it's if you talk to anybody on any of these teams, you've done it, I've done it, and you can see how sports is like the common denominator, I guess, right?
Exactly, and that's where I learned to, you know, view African American players beyond the stereotype. We were all just football players, you know, and so it was. That's where I really learned that there were other people who, you know, had the same interests that I did, who didn't look like me. And what was interesting about going back today on the field and seeing how the players interact is that there was and I guess this is an encouraging thing, is that there was a casualness about race that I didn't experience, that my generation didn't experience. And, you know, they listened to a lot of the same rap songs, they play the same Xbox games, and even though they don't always, you know, hang out at each other's houses, I think they still have a lot of the same references you know, things that would have separated us don't separate them anymore.
Yeah. You know, it's you've heard this expression. When Bill Clinton became president, and he's known for Little Rock, too, people talk about Clinton all the time being from there, and he's Arkansas, right, and the Hogs and football and all that stuff. But also, when I've covered politics, so often people say, well, you know, he was really the first black president.
Yeah.
Why do you think that expression just naturally falls out of people's mouths when they think of Bill Clinton?
I think partly because of the way he grew up, and it highlights, in fact, that a lot of our racial perceptions are really socioeconomic perceptions. He could relate to the black populace because he grew up in, you know, poorer conditions than you know, the Roosevelts or some of the other political families. And I think that's one thing that I think that's one reason why he's viewed that way.
You spent a year with the team, basically. You spent a year doing this. What were some of the things that you walked away from after? I mean, spending a whole year is a lot different than recollections and interviewing people, and although that stuff adds certainly to the book. But when you're really in there and you spend that much time, what did you walk away with? I guess the biggest thing that you took away from the experience.
I think it was that we're more alike than we are different, especially now. And that a lot of the times where we separate ourselves, you know, by the way we look, are really just false dichotomies that we set up. And I think if we didn't sort of hew to those stereotypes so readily, because it's a safe place to go, to, you know, hang out with people who look like you, mm-hmm. that we would find that there are more similarities than differences between us. And I think that's the biggest thing I learned. But race, overcoming those stereotypes is a long process.
Yeah. Do you think ever we overcome this? Do you think ever in this country? I mean, I know this is such a big question, but from where you grew up, from where I grew up outside of Philadelphia, just your perspective, do you think we've come a lot further, and do you think we ever overcome this?
You know, I think we have, but I think it takes an effort. You know, it's not just going to happen naturally. You've got to – there was one a black city councilman who I talked to who was a football star at Central as well, and he asked a question which I think is the key question of my book, which is, are we really – embracing each other, or are we just tolerating each other? And I think to make the effort to embrace someone who's different than you is, it causes you to have to take some chances and step out of where you feel comfortable sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, but I see that happening a lot, even in Little Rock now in the community. And so I think there has been significant progress.
Yeah. Hey, one last one. We'd be remiss not to ask this after the years of me reading so much of your stuff in SI and others. And we do this thing called Nail the Score. I used to fly with the Cowboys and covered football, too. Uh-huh. I'm going to really put you on the spot since you're a football guy.
Oh, God.
Who do you like this year to go to the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, I'm going to... going to anger a lot of Cowboy fans, but I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a terrific year, and I think the Packers are going to go. I don't know. I might have to go with my hometown Jets, too, you know, my adopted hometown Jets.
Yeah.
They weren't looking so good the other night, but I'll stick with them.
I was going to say that. You know, I got sucked into the whole thing with Hard Knocks.
Yeah,
and then I was that boy that first game out of the chute, but it's just one game, right?
That's true. They got Revis back. He'll shut him down.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, the book is called "Carry the Rock: Race, Football, and the Soul of an American City." Jay, if anybody wants to pick this up, how do they do that?
You can go to for more information. You can go to carrytherock.com, which is my website. But it all should be in your favorite bookstore, independent bookstores, or I frequent so. But wherever, Barnes & Noble, Borders, any, your favorite bookstore should be there.
All right, so it'll be pretty easy to get that. Thanks, Jay, so much for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Before you purchase any water filters, you should know there's a superior American-made water filtration system available. This water filter's housing is made of high-quality stainless steel, and its filters outperform all others in the industry and are the only ones that exceed EPA standards. It's a gravity-fed water filtration system requiring no electricity or plumbing. It removes chlorine, chemicals, and dangerous biological pathogens, producing quality drinking water for less than 2 cents per gallon. Plus, its filters can be cleaned up to 200 times. What is it? It's the AquaRain. Owning an AquaRain means you own the best money can buy. Learn more and see other quality emergency preparedness products at myaquarain.com. Use the GCN code and you'll receive the book, Do-It-Yourself Emergency Preparedness, absolutely free. To order, visit myaquarain.com or call 800-585-5077. That's myaquarain.com or 800-585-5077.
There are all sorts of things on the market designed to keep you safe when you're out and about. Whistles, mace, you name it. But for real peace of mind for parents, students, and children, you need an iSafe bag.
We heard a loud noise, and I could see a flashing in the backpack.
The sound was different than a car alarm, so it was a different sound, so we looked to see what it was.
I think it's a great idea.
Introducing the iSafe bag, a backpack that looks normal until you pull the pin. The iSafe bag emits two powerful sirens and a high-intensity strobe light simultaneously to attract immediate help.
Having the iSafe bag gives me a feeling of being safe because I know when I pull the alarm, people will hear it and they'll come and help me.
For mobile personal security, get the iSafe bag at iSafeBags.com. That's the letter I-S-A-F-E bags.com. iSafeBags.com.
I thank God that she had that backpack and she had enough sense to use it.
It's like having a bodyguard with you all the time. The iSafe bag, the patented bag with a built-in alarm, available at iSafeBags.com.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LightBreeze wind generator kits start charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
Another edition of We Can Count. All right, so hang on. We're going to hopscotch all over the place. How about this? Obesity costs the U.S. economy. We almost need a drum roll. $215 billion a year in direct and indirect impacts. How do they determine this? We're talking about medical expenses and lost productivity. That's according to this study that was done by the Brookings Institute. Researchers found that the medical costs especially amounted to $147 billion more than for those of healthy weight. And the cost of kids amounted to $14.3 billion. So this just plays into the whole obesity thing. I'm telling you, if you have any flab on your body, you got to start losing the flab now. Otherwise, there's going to be a scale when you get to the airport. They'll probably make you step on a scale before you get on the subways or the buses. I mean, let's hope it doesn't come to that, because I'm not for that. I'm for people being healthier. And, hey, listen, how many of us don't struggle with that? Lots of us struggle with it. I think most of us struggle with it in some form. What's the old saying? You can never be too, rich or too thin. As of 2002, about 500 million people were overweight. That's what the Brookings Institute said. 500 million people. Wow. So we move from obesity to Fox News finally airing this $1 million donation to the Republican Governors Association. You know, that spot, it finally aired on Tuesday night on Fox. The network had rejected the ad because of a couple of different things. There was a bunch of back and forth with the Media Matters people about the spot. And Fox didn't like some of the things in it. Remember, Fox donated $1 million to oppose Democratic candidates this November, which is what the ad concludes. So during this whole thing, when you watch it unfold, it says, and now a special message about a story that's not yet been covered on Fox News primetime, brought to you by Media Matters for America. That's how it opens up. And then it quotes an executive, Jack Horner's explanation for the political donation, saying the company believes in the power of free markets and the RGA's pro-business agenda supports our priorities at this most critical time for our economy. And so, remember, that blew up into a big controversy, and now Fox News just decided, okay, we'll air that, we'll play the game, and we'll do that. So they did, and now the controversy's over. But you can see why they didn't. We were trying to distance themselves from it. It's interesting to see what's going to happen with the Supreme Court ruling, because now the corporations can go out and do whatever they want to as far as candidates are concerned. I think you're going to start to see that materialize. We haven't seen too much of that yet, but I think we will in upcoming elections, maybe even a little bit in these midtermers, as we have 7 weeks pretty much and counting before everybody goes into the booths to vote, or if it's absentee ballot stuff. All right, let's move on to this one. The housing problems are now the number one subject of employee assistance calls. I mean, I guess this shouldn't be surprising. The housing crunch, and that's why we keep having people on to talk about it. You know, the other day we did a new segment called In Your Backyard and talked about, okay, what if you have to sell a home? Here's some things you can do. Because people are having problems, you need to try to stage it. And then what's happened with homeowners associations, because people are really going underwater with this housing crunch. So check this out. The housing problems for the first time replace child care. It's, like I said, the number one subject of employee assistance calls, rather. Of more than 25,000 calls from January to June of this year, 41% were related to moving. So of those, 77% were seeking help finding an apartment. Two-thirds of those seeking apartments said it was foreclosure related. Now, CompSych put all these together. They track the calls. They've been doing that since 1984. The company puts those programs together for like 13,000 different companies with 33 million workers across the board. So their statistics, I would say, are pretty good. Child care was always the top of the list, but that declined. Now it's all about moving, the moving category. This is crazy. In fact, the moving category increased by 14% in 6 months. So it shows what's happening is people are being probably forced to move, which was my point in trying to hurry up and sell a house. People are getting stuck, frankly, and that makes sense that they would call, and they're trying to figure out any way they can to get around the crunch when they're in a hurry and they got to solve the problem. Speaking of solving the problem, I don't think anything's been solved here, and I think this honestly is one of the more horrific things that we heard about this year, and it has to do with Arlington Cemetery. And the fiasco of who's buried where, and the fact that the records are all over the place, and they're trying to sort them out. And in the USA Today, I happened to see it earlier in the morning. I was up and checked I was going through the paper, and I happened to see this story, and it was about a 19-year-old Marine who was killed in Iraq in 2006, who was disinterred at the cemetery to ensure that his remains were in his grave. This is one where they confirmed it, and his coffin was returned to the original plot in Section 60. You know how they're marked off in different sections, but how sad that they even have to do that, because there was fear that the body was mishandled, and they didn't want to have to think about it. His family didn't want to worry about it, because it was so bad what happened to him with the IED that left his body too damaged. They couldn't have an open casket. The family didn't want to risk that the wrong person was there. Remember, an Army Inspector General's report found that 211 cases, at least so far, of mislabeled or unmarked graves now exist in three of the Arlington's 70 sections there, which is, again, still inexcusable and just absolutely outrageous. But all they can do is move forward and try to correct the problem with these crazy records and the haphazard burials of some of the people that were there and were doing the work. It's one of those things where you have to ask yourself, why? Why would someone do that? Ooh. Let's talk a little McDonald's here for a second. McDonald's is the largest fast food chain in the nation, and they're on a mission to become big in beverages. I think really what they're trying to do is to go after Starbucks. So the chain slowly has been rolling out iced frappes only since March, but the CEO, a guy named Jim Skinner, is saying that it's been impressive what they've seen when they went back and looked at the numbers. In the stores, April, they had a 3.8% same-store sales boost, and they say it's because of the iced drinks. So now they're going to offer smoothies. This isn't old-school McDonald's anymore. It's not going to be about that. It's going to be about everything you want it your way, stealing a line from another fast food company. And what the people at McDonald's are saying is, look, you got $153 billion hanging out there, because that's the amount Americans spend on non-alcoholic beverages. That's what they spent last year. Are you kidding me? $153 billion? Does that seem like a high number to anybody? Specialty coffee, by the way. Have you ever gotten their specialty coffee? $13 billion market in the United States. You know, think of making a cup of Joe at your house. I don't know. If you're tight on the cash, you might not want to make all those stops to Starbucks or McDonald's or whatever. I'm just saying, I understand from their perspective. They're going to make the cost a little bit lower and try to just steal everything they can from Starbucks. And hey, why not?